developments in Texas fueled fresh calls for the U.S. Senate to pass the For the People Act, a sweeping House-approved election reform package that voting rights advocates say would thwart many of the hundreds of state bills that Republicans across the U.S. have introduced and, in some cases, enacted this year. Former Democratic Congressman Beto O'Rourke, who battled Biden in 2020 presidential primary and is reportedly considering a run to serve as the Lone Star State's governor, tweeted recently that Texas lawmakers would dismantle democracy in order to keep themselves in power. We are doing all we can to stop this bill from becoming law, but we can't do it alone. We need help. The U.S. Senate must pass the For the People Act. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer recently committed to forcing a vote on the For the People Act next month. In a letter to the Democratic caucus, he said the bill is essential to defunding democracy, reducing the influence of dark money and powerful special interests, and stopping the wave of Republican voter suppression happening in the states across the country in service of President Trump's big lie.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic upbringing, where we discuss the issues that parents may face during the upbringing of their children. We're discussing teenagers with our dear and beloved Sheikh Masumi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Masumi. Thank you very much for being with us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's my honor to be here with you.
Thank you. So Sheikh Masumi, we're talking about the youth and how they're soft-hearted. And we said one of the consequences of this soft-heartedness is that they are very receptive to the truth. Can you please explain this to us, how they are receptive to the truth?
As you mentioned, this teenage is an age where usually they become a little bit rude, as I said so many times. And we think usually that they are very disobedient, they don't want the truth, they don't want the guidance. But according to Hadith and Quran, it is totally wrong. They are always looking for the truth, the right things and the righteous. Let me give a small hadith. It is from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, our sixth Imam. One of his companions, he was the representative of Imam in Basra, the city of Basra of Iraq. So once he came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked him, "Oh Abu Ja'far, how did you find the people of Basra? Did they accept whatever you say? Did they accept our guidelines, our guidance?" Then he said to Imam, "No, unfortunately, no. Very few people are listening to your, hadith and listening to the guidance." Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, عليك بالأحداث فإنهم أسرع إلى كل خير. Specifically, Imam alayhi salam told him, advised him to mingle with the teenagers and young people, because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam knows everything. Yeah, so he said, don't go, you know, behind these old and adult people, because they are not very easygoing with you. They don't accept very easily. But you always try your best to guide the young people, teenagers especially, because, as I said, they are very soft-hearted. They are always looking for the right things. So, alayka bil ahdath. Ahdath means the new generation, the young people, youngsters. Because Imam knows their heart is empty, they have very soft heart, and they are looking for right things. That's why you can see, inshallah, we will, in our next time after the break, we will discuss, we will give some more examples of this.
Of targeting the teenagers.
Teenagers.
But we're very worried about wrong people targeting teenagers, so I guess we should hurry and rush to get there before anyone else.
Definitely.
Okay, let's take an early break and then we'll be back to further this discussion. Don't go away.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Sheikh Masumi. We're talking about how the young are very receptive to the truth. And even Imam Sadiq advised his representative to target the youth and use them as his audience. How can we follow that advice in our day and time?
You mentioned a very important point, that we should hurry, because our teenagers, they have an empty heart, so they are ready to get whatever guidelines you are giving, whatever information you are giving. So before your enemy approaches them, you should approach them and you should give them the right guidelines so they can spend their life and rest of life according to that. So when we see the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the city of Medina, you know, always, you know, mostly the young generation, the youngsters, they were the first people to follow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, in other societies also, look at the revolution of Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You know better than me that most of the people who were, you know, saying labbaik to the call of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhi, were young people, youngsters. And in this, the holy war, 8 years war between Iran and Iraq, you can see a lot of young, very teenagers even, they were the upfront, in the front line of the, you know, battlefield. So what we can understand from these examples, that our teenagers, they are always ready to listen to you, but with one condition. We have to understand them first, and after understanding them, by applying and utilizing the golden rulings of Islam and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, after this, if we give them the guidelines, definitely it will help them. They will follow your guidelines, and it will help them keep themselves away from the, you know, satanic or the our enemies' guidelines.
What are these golden rules?
Again,
we begin with respect.
Since childhood. Respect. And confidence, giving them confidence. Building their, confidence is very important. And giving them love, respect and love. They are always thirsty of love. Like if someone is very thirsty, what do you do? What you give him water, yeah? Water quenches his thirst. But if you don't give water, you give some juices or some any other liquid, it may not quench his thirst. So he will look for water after he leaves from here. He will go somewhere else and look for the water. Likewise, our teenagers, they are thirsty of love. If you give them enough love at home, they will not look for love, in the streets, in the society. So this is another very important rule.
Okay, we're going to have to cut you short there for the break, but we'll cover more rules after the break, inshallah. Don't go away.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Allah will be merciful to his servant for his intense love for his child.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about the golden rules that will help our children become more receptive of the truth. So we said respect, we said love, we said feed them with confidence sufficiently. What else should parents consider?
You provide a very good environment at home and good friends for him and befriend with him. So these are very, very important rules. If they get enough of these things, the dose of these things at home, definitely they will not look for it outside home, and it will help you guiding them easily towards the right path. And in this teenage, they, as our topic is, they are looking for the right thing, yeah? In this teenage. That's why we say, when we see that when you face a teenager, when you ask him, what do you want to become in future? Usually he says that I want to become a doctor to help the patients and the people, yeah. Or he says I want to become a firefighter to help the people. So these things show that he likes the right and good things. He hates the bad things and bad qualities. So this is a natural thing in teenagers, which shows again that they have soft heart. So again, it is our parents' duty to provide them with their needs according to this soft heart. So we have to polish this beautiful quality and provide them the necessary things so they can use this soft heart. And we should not feed them with things which lead in having a hard heart.
So when we're dealing with teenagers, if we want to respect them and give them confidence, we shouldn't treat them like they're kids, right?
Yeah.
But they're not adults either.
Either.
What do we do here?
So definitely, as Islam said, they are wazir.
Advisors?
Yeah, advisors, yeah. So how do you treat an advisor, So there are some beautiful ahadith also which mention that if you want to make a decision regarding your anything, about your life, about your home, about your any other thing, ahadith say first you take advice of your teenager, your youngsters.
Mm-hmm. So that's one way to give them confidence.
Because they have a very sharp mind.
But you know,
very intellectual brain also they have. So
but
they're
very inexperienced, so they probably come up with not very smart answers.
Again,
and if you're not, and if you're defying that, you're actually hurting their confidence.
Imam knows about these things. That's why the Imam says, first you go take his suggestion, then that suggestion you give to the old people, you know, the experienced people. So the mixture of their experience and youngsters' sharp mind.
That's good for us, but what does it do to the honor and respect, the confidence of the child when they continually see their advice being, you know, not used?
It's not like this. Sometimes their advice is, you know, a lot of people, they use their advices. I have seen also in my life, there are a lot of parents, fathers, they, you know, take advice of their young children, and sometimes they give very good advice also.
All
suggestions.
Right. Thank you very much. That's all the time that we have. Unfortunately, if you missed the program, don't worry. You can always download an archive from our website. Simply visit parstoday.com, click on Call of Islam Radio. You'll see Islamic Upbringing there with all its programs. You can also find us on social media platforms. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Telegram, and YouTube. Simply search Call of Islam Radio as well. Or you can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. That's englishradio@irib.ir. Until next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all. Are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life. A way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
In the limelight.
In reality, Israeli supremacists in Occupy Palestine receive financial support from a network of charities in the United States. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Jessica Boxbaum, reporter. This article is titled, Revealed, American Money Entwined with Zionist Regime's Terrorist Groups. Stay tuned for the details, please. As the Zionist regime rained rockets down on Gaza in mid-May, inside 1948 occupied Palestine, another kind of Israeli terror emerged. Israeli supremacists stormed cities with high Palestinian populations, chanting and attacking scores of Palestinians and vandalizing their properties. The mob violence killed two Palestinian citizens, according to the Musawa Center, the Advocacy Center for Arab Citizens. Recently, an Israeli mob dragged a Bedouin driver out of his car and beat him with glass bottles in northern historic Palestine. Earlier, footage posted on social media showed Arab gas station workers lying on the ground after being surrounded and beaten by an Israeli mob in the town of Binyamina. In reality, these supremacists received financial support from a network of charities in the United States of America. As the Zionist regime orchestrated a bombing campaign on Gaza, right-wing Israeli activists were coordinating their own warlike operations online. According to Hablak, an Israeli nonprofit organization monitoring anti-democratic activity, tens of new groups have been created in the last 2 weeks on WhatsApp and Telegram. Hablak's observation of these ultra-right-wing groups reveals how they use social media to organize attacks in advance offline. The groups exchanged information sold weapons like knives, bats, and pepper spray, used inflammatory rhetoric such as calling for revenge against Palestinian citizens, and documented themselves rioting in the streets. News media reported that the main groups behind the recent rampage were Lihaba, a supremacist organization opposing assimilation and coexistence, and La Familia, a far-right group supporting the Israeli regime Premier League football club, Better Jerusalem. Ben Zion Gopstein is the leader of Lihaba and founded the organization in 2005. He is a notorious right-wing activist and disciple of Rabbi Meir Kahana, an American-Israeli extremist who founded the Ka Party, a political movement espousing racist beliefs. Two tax-exempt charities in the U.S. fund Kahani's activity in the occupied Palestine. Charity of Light and the American Friends of Yeshivat Yah Rayon Yah Yehudi. Charity of Light funnels money to Chasti Meir. Chasti Meir was named after Kahani, according to fund's website. As evidence on Charity of Light's tax returns, Chasti Meir is related to Chemla Fund. Charity of Light donated $72,000 to Chasti Meir Chemla Fund in 2018, according to its most recent tax filing. The American Friends of Yeshivat HaRayon Yah Yehudi directly supports Yeshivat HaRayon Yah Yehudi, or the Jewish Idea Yeshiva, a Jewish education institution founded by Kahana. This is sort of the place for indoctrination of Kahani's ideology, Ablak said. It's where Benzi Gopstein studied and other prominent Kahani's figures. The charity gave $154,000 to Yeshivat Yaharon HaYehudi in 2018, according to the most recent tax report. The yeshiva is even classified as a terrorist organization by the United States. The yeshiva din, Rabbi Yehuda Crozier, is also part of Chasti Meir. The yeshiva did not return a request for comment. The nonprofit's tax filings list Levi Chazan as the director of Charity of Light and American Friends of Yeshivat HaRayon Yah Yehudi, and Stephen Goldrich is listed as a director of Charity of Light and treasurer of American Friends of Yeshivat HaRayon Yah Yehudi. Chazan was convicted in 1984 bus shooting in occupied West Bank, which wounded 7 Palestinians. Both did not respond to requests for comment. Hablak explained the entanglement of Israeli regime and American organizations is not directly supporting Lihava with monetary contributions, but rather aiding the network around it. The relationship between Lihava and groups that are funded with American money are two separate issues, Hablak Cohen said. There are connections, of course, but we cannot say that these groups that were active in the last 2 weeks were funded with American dollars, he added. The aforementioned charities are largely linked to Kahanism and Lihava, but other American foundations have also been tied to Israeli extremism. The traditional fund gave $51,000 to American Friends of Yeshivat HaRayon and $11,500 to American Friends of Chasti Meir in 2018. The American Friends of Chasti Meir is not listed in any available nonprofit database. However, Chasti Meir's website does name the American Friends of Chasti Meir as its contact. The traditional fund did not respond to press inquiries. We'll be right back. according to Trua, the Rabbinic Call for Human Rights, the Central Fund of Israel, CFI, funds Chemla and Yeshivat HaRayon Yah Yehudi. The organization filed a complaint with the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, in 2018 to revoke CFI and the American Friends of Yeshivat charitable status on the ground these groups are funding terrorism. IRS charity law states that terrorist activities are considered substantial means for disqualifying an organization's tax-exempt status. This is in accordance with engaging in illegal acts contrary to standard U.S. policy. A litany of private foundations supports the CFI. Most notably, the foundations belonging to the late American billionaires Sheldon Adelson and Irving Moskowitz. The Moskowitz family foundations have contributed more than $8 million to CFI since 2018, and Adelson's foundation gave $50,000 to CFI in 2018.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamic. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms. Welcome to today's episode of Youth Station. It is with great pleasure and deep honor that I
present Mudaffar Haidar, who's going to do the intro, which goes like this. Choo choo ka choo. It's the Youth Station. You know, sister, you should do it once. Just let it out of your system.
There isn't enough money in the world.
I am disappointed.
You're disappointed? Mm. That wouldn't be the first time someone's disappointed in me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. This conversation has taken a turn for the worse.
And you know what?
Yep. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. I am so proud of you.
I'm so...
Check, please.
I am so okay with disappointing other people.
You're okay with disappointing other people?
Yes.
That's
my
a
only
scary
problem
thing to say.
Is yeah. when I disappoint myself.
Ooh. Do you have a fridge magnet that says that? Or a t-shirt or something? Or a mug? Actually, really quite profound, sister. That's fascinating.
I really don't mind disappointing other people because sometimes I even actively try to disappoint other people. Okay,
can you give
yeah.
me an example? That sounds kind of...
I just made it really sick. I realize that, but it's true, unfortunately.
Why? Well, could you give me an example?
I don't know whether it's because of my anxiety disorder, like my social anxiety, because social anxiety has a lot of self-sabotaging quirks to it.
Right.
But, like, as a person, I felt that when someone invests too much into me, I get overwhelmed.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So you disappoint them to throw them off.
Yes,
to, like,
exactly.
No, stop having so many expectations.
Exactly.
I see.
I'm only
human. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'm doing the best that I can. And if you keep telling me that, oh, but you're Zainab, what if this? And it's like, you shouldn't be doing this, and it's not good for your reputation, it's not good for your name, I'm like, let's not define me by that, right? I know what makes me happy, I know what puts me in a good mental and spiritual place, and you're just hyping me up a lot because of this fictional character you have of me in your head.
Oh my God, sister, that is... This might sound like, you know... If you're listening, you might think, okay, this is just a youth show and they're talking about some sort of teenage issue. Da, 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 da. No. This is something that we really, really need to pin down. This topic that has just been disturbed by sister, this topic of expectations that people have of you, and then, I don't know, building this idealistic image in your mind of somebody. And then because of that idealistic image of this person being an angel, you have all these expectations. Because when you first said that you disappoint some people on purpose, I was like, sinister female. But now I'm like, no, that makes a lot of sense. Do continue.
But when I disappoint myself, no. Then it's like, I feel like there's like 7 feet of filth, 5 feet of like, fossil fumes, rock bottom, then me when I disappoint myself.
Mm-hmm.
And often I feel it happens because I didn't set proper boundaries for myself, because I engaged in interactions that were really beneath me as a Muslim woman who tries to be modest and pious. You know, these sort of situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever been disappointed in anyone? Except for me?
Don't get me started.
Wait, give me an example.
Apart from, no, I haven't been disappointed about you. No,
yet.
Try and keep those expectations to a bare minimum, sister.
Wise man.
Yeah, no, I've been... I've been disappointed by people.
Did it hurt? Or did
I'm
it
at a stage,
angry?
Let me put it this way, sister. I'll put tears in your eyes again, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a stage where every single living person on earth, except for Imam al-Mahdi, and you know, maybe Imam Khamenei and some of the real great people, Imam Khomeini, for example, I hate everyone and I'm disappointed in every single person, including myself.
High five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am just sick of humanity.
Yeah.
I'm just like every single person. You try and love people, sister. You really do.
You try and say
this person is so good. Da 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 da. They're gonna make this difference. They're gonna make this change, and they're gonna serve humanity. They're gonna be really close to Allah. And then you find out that they have a major flaw. Like, I mean, a major flaw, and it crushes your spirit, and you're just like, why? Why did you have to be so?
Do you wish
rubbish?
That you hadn't gotten so close to them to see that flaw sometimes?
No, I wish I had never built up that expectation in the first place.
Yeah.
I wish I had not thought that this person is great and mighty. It might be, I mean, it depends, like, throughout the different phases that you go through in life. For me, it's like a scholar. You think this scholar is just perfect, you know, this scholar is going to be brilliant. And then they just disappoint you. They're just like...
Say something really stupid.
They say something stupid, or they express some
really
sort of cowardice.
Sexist or racist.
No, yeah, or that. Or they express some sort of cowardice.
Yes.
Or cowardice for me, I hate it. I can't stand cowardice.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they.
And they justify it by saying that, oh, it's for some sort of greater good. And
oh, yeah.
To protect
yeah.
This and that.
Everybody justifies it. Isn't? Nobody's going to be like, I'm doing this because I'm a coward.
Yeah.
Everybody hides it up. That's why it's called kufr, right? Because kufr
exactly.
Actually literally
but
means to cover something
up. But often I feel like when I
I'm really scared shoeless. I'm scared. I can't do this.
Of what?
Mean, when you're being cowardice. When you're being a coward, don't you just admit that, yes, I'm scared?
I do. Yeah. You do. Because we, alhamdulillah, we have great personalities. But I'm saying cowards, actual cowards, they don't do that. Mm. They go, no, I'm not scared. I'm bravest of the brave. I'm just wise. Yeah, I'm just wiser than you.
And
you're
cautious.
An idiot. You're a fool.
Exactly.
But anyway, so sometimes they'll express some sort of cowardice.
And it often occurs, I think, in their political stance.
Yeah, in their political stance. Or they won't put the efforts in that you had expected them to put in.
Oh, yes.
Or there would be somebody, it's not necessarily a sin that they commit, but it's some sort of,
Something in their personality.
I remember I brought a brother to COI back in the day. Like, this was 6-7 years ago, right? Everything was good. We're Talibé. We're unmarried, right? When you're unmarried, you've got nothing to worry about. So we're raking it in every month.
Mm.
Yeah, we're getting loads of cash from COI because
sure
we're working at the radio, right, together.
Okay.
Every month, we were going to Bama. We were hitting Bama as Talibé.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal back then, right? So we were happy,
mm-hmm.
and we were developing our speaking skills and researching, blah, 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 blah. One day he just says, I don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I was like, why? I just don't want to.
It bummed you and disappointed
you. It was like,
you.
No, I just want a reason, like a valid reason. He was like, I want to do something else with my life. I was like, but you're not doing that.
Mm, you're not doing this nor that, and you're just bringing excuses.
These
that
kinds of things. It's like, disappointment is where somebody had potential to be better. They had potential to do much, much, much more, and they failed to
Nailed
do that.
It. That is exactly what, and that is often why I feel disappointed with myself too. Because I feel like, Zainab, you could have done so much better, but you didn't, for whatever the reason. I don't care what the reason was.
Coming to that disappointment of the self, I believe it's Ayatollah Bahjat, who said that, obviously he was talking, referencing from the Quran and the Ahadith, but he said that on the Day of Judgment, there is nobody who will be raised on that day and say, I wish I hadn't done that one thing. I wish I'd gone a little bit further.
Mm.
I just wish I'd gone a little bit further. I mean, that is the real day of disappointment. When we're going to realize we could have made so much more of ourselves. We could have made so many sacrifices that right now, because we haven't made those sacrifices, they seem like the most difficult things in the world. But once you make them, you've made them. And Allah helps you to get stronger.
Yep.
We're going to wish that we made those changes in ourselves. We don't do it. What's wrong with us? Why are we disappointed?
Can you think of anything that you would have changed, you could change right now that you're not changing?
Yeah, can you?
I'm also disappointed deeply in humanity's warmongering impulses.
Mm.
Like, what the actual fudge?
Ah, yes. What the actual fudge? Yes, it is very disappointing.
It's very disappointing because even if a person is benefiting from their warmongering today, that benefit is so fleeting compared to a single life that could be lost.
My mom was talking about some comedian or philosopher.
I like
remember.
Your mom already.
She was saying that he mentioned how the Bible, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill.
Mm.
And he was talking about how profound that really is.
You know what? It says a lot about society when we can't tell. We can't remember whether it was a comedian or a philosopher that said that.
Because many comedians have like deeply philosophical things to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, exactly. And many philosophers are just comedic nonsense.
Just comedians, there you go. But that's a good point, actually. You made me lose. What was I saying?
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill. God had to tell you not to kill. Like, how retarded of this creation. This creation must be really, really, like, essentially mentally disabled or something.
As if
don't
killing
kill.
Is our default.
Like, don't kill?
Yeah.
Like, God has to tell us not to kill? Like, think about that. That's scary.
That's a big deal.
That's terrifying. It's like, he created all 7 billion of us today. More than that, right?
Mm.
And he had to tell them, don't kill.
By the way, don't kill each other.
Yeah. That's That's horrible. Look at.
But on the other hand, it also shows how annoying we can be as a species that our fellow human beings would want to kill us. But then I remembered that the first murder that took place in history was just because the older brother was selfish and vain. And he was competitive, and he wanted his brother out of the picture because his brother was favored in the eyes of the parents and God. And he was like, dude, I'm just jealous of you. I'm going to kill you now.
I'm going to kill you.
So yeah. I think it stems from the ego.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm disappointed in. I'm disappointed in how egoistic we are as human beings.
Yeah. Do you know we sound like typical millennials right now?
Because we are typical.
We have the right to be disappointed in humanity.
We are disappointed. Humanity has failed, bro.
It has failed, yeah.
I mean, look at Palestine. You know that it's a very famous, one of the famous signs held up at a protest that circulated, whatchamacallit, a lot. The fact that you have to have thousands of protests to prove that killing children is not okay means humanity has failed.
Excellent. Yeah, that's
and we failed
point.
In everything. We failed Mother Nature. We failed the environment. We failed the ecosystem. We failed animals. We failed the trees. We failed the ozone layer. Pretty soon, we're going to fail freaking Mars.
We often say most human beings are nice.
They're not. And myself included. Sometimes I feel like I am so disappointed.
No, but we say most human beings are inherently nice and stuff, but
no.
They're not anymore, are they?
I mean, look, a lot of times when we talk about the bloodshed and the warmongering and the massacres and the genocides, my mind automatically refers to that verse in the Quran. The first time Allah talks about man's creation, he turns to his angels, he's like, yo, peeps, I'm a ja'alun fil ard khalifa. What is their first response? They didn't go, oh my God, that's such a good idea. Oh, look at those pretty eyes. Look at those pretty hands. They're like, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا. God's like, I'm going to put my vicegerent on earth. And they're like, are you going to put someone on earth who's going to do nothing but bloodshed and corruption? And I'm like, that's exactly what we are. Had we given the opportunity, I don't think we would be any different.
To kill?
Maybe not go so far as to kill, but to be just as disappointing as those whom we are disappointed in right now.
Allah protect us, honestly. I used to think I'm a really terrible person, for the longest time. I realized there's nasty people out there, sister.
Nastier.
Really nasty people. I understand what you're saying. Allah saved us from certain sins, right?
He really did. But
can you actually imagine killing somebody for a moment? Taking an innocent person? So I'll give you a lesser example of a comparatively lesser sin, although it is still a greater sin. Ghibah, right? Let's say that you wanted to backbite somebody. Now, killing somebody, we might not imagine it so well, right? Murdering somebody is almost unimaginable.
It's like eating pork for Muslims.
Yeah, son, right? It's just impossible. Alhamdulillah. Okay, but then ghibah.
Easy peasy.
I used to think I do ghibah all the time because, I talk about people behind their backs, right? In a negative way, which is essentially ghibah. But there are people who the way they do it is nasty, sister. They enjoy it. Not just politically, this person has done this and therefore we need to, counter it somehow or avoid them or something. It's not like that. It's like they did this and
did you hear? What happened there?
It's almost like a meal. It's scary. Yeah. It's like, I could never imagine doing that, just completely degrading and disgracing someone behind their back. But there's people who do that, and they enjoy it, right? No, so this is a lesser example of it should be unimaginable. All sins should be actually unimaginable for us.
This
train has come to its final stop for today.
Alhamdulillah. I thought I'd never be able to get off.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you so very much for being with us. Until another Youth Station, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have my love is strong, because you are the one I call creator, my alpha and omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, the well when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love, my love is strong.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered on March 21st, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the occasion of Nowruz.
The failure of the US's maximum pressures against Iran. The last point is about the Barjam and regional matters. I wish to raise a few points about this as well. The first issue is that the US's maximum pressure policy failed. The previous idiot devised the maximum pressure policy in order to put Iran in a weak position and ultimately force it into sitting at the negotiating table and giving into their arrogant demands. Well, he disappeared into thin air and he departed in disgrace. Even his departure was not a normal one, as it was accompanied with disgrace for himself and his country. His actions disgraced the US. Thankfully, the Islamic Republic has stood with complete power and strength, and by Allah's favor, our country and our nation are respectable. Therefore, they should know that the maximum pressure policy has failed. Until now and from now on too, if the new administration wishes to pursue the maximum pressure policy, they will fail as well. There will be no trace of the new politicians either, and they will go. But Islamic Iran will prevail with complete power and dignity. And by Allah's favor, the words of advice that I offered will help Iran become stronger on a daily basis.
Subhanallah, hamdan lillah.
The second point is that the country's policy on the interaction with the Burjan sites and on the nuclear deal itself has already been explicitly declared. This policy will not be violated in any way. It is a policy which has already been announced and which is adopted with everyone's agreement. It is not the case that this policy was an exception to other policies. Everyone has agreed to it. This policy is that the Americans should lift all sanctions. After that, we will verify. If the sanctions have been lifted, we will return to our Burjan commitments. We will return without any problem. This is a definite policy. We do not consider American promises to be valid.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to
the world with reporters.
We don't ask for permission to free Palestine. We demand it.
The tsunami of voices rising across the globe in condemnation of Israeli war crimes continued to be heard as Palestinians and their supporters thronged the streets of D.C. Steady rain showers weren't enough to dampen the spirits of demonstrators who came from all over the U.S. and descended on the National Mall by the busload.
Came out here from San Francisco. This is how serious it is. We need sanctions for sure, 100% on Israel, because what are we, like, are we their dogs? We don't have to pay them nothing. We don't owe them nothing. All you guys are doing is paying to get kids bombed in Gaza. And this is not right. We don't support no genocide at the end of the day. Like, this is not right.
The protesters called on Israel to stop killing Palestinians and condemned it for adopting what they called apartheid policies. They also called for an end to Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories and demanded that the U.S. government stop funding the regime.
For the thousands gathered out here outside the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., for the National March for Palestine, it's simply not enough that the U.S. government end support for the Israelis. They want them to go a step further and introduce measures to sanction the illegitimate apartheid regime.
Protesters also demanded the U.S. government cease its campaign of harassment and allow lawyers with the International Criminal Court to carry out their investigations of Israeli war crimes unobstructed. They also called for an end to the impunity granted to the apartheid regime by major Western powers.
No country in the world was in violation of international law more than Israel. All of us have to change this. All of us have to tell the administration it is about time to remove Israel from Gaza and from Palestine.
Other speakers rejected attempts by corporate media to use the manufactured anti-Semitism crisis to undermine public support for the Palestinian cause.
The people of the Gaza Strip have the right not just to survive, they have the right to resist, just as Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto did.
Regardless of whether or not the Biden administration bends to the will of demonstrators, those battling for Palestinian liberation here in D.C. seem just as ready to resist Israeli aggression as their brothers and sisters in occupied Palestine. Wyatt Reed, Washington.
Oh,
Connecticut vaccine developers say 1 million doses of the country's first homegrown vaccine have been produced, which will be delivered to the Ministry of Health. Speaking at the press conference, the managing director of COVID-1 Barakat Vaccine Research Group, Hassan Jalili, said production of the vaccine will increase to 3 million doses next month.
We have produced 1 million doses of COVID-1 Barakat vaccine and will be delivered to the health ministry, and its production will increase to 3 million doses next month. And with the launch of new production lines, the figure will increase to 18 million doses soon. Public vaccination with COVID-1 Barakat is going to start in mid-June after clinical results are confirmed by the Ministry of Health.
Officials in charge of developing COVID-1 Barakat vaccine said with the third phase of human trial of the vaccine being almost finished, the result shows E1's vaccine has effectiveness much higher than expectations and is ready for emergency use after being approved by the health ministry. COVID-1 Barakat was unveiled on December 29, 2020 and started to be mass-produced on March 29th. E1 is among the first countries which started developing a vaccine against coronavirus, and now four companies are endeavoring to release their products by September and inoculate the whole population. The second Iranian coronavirus vaccine, Razi-CovPars, which started the clinical trial on February 27th, will be mass-produced in early August. E1 is also currently producing vaccines jointly with three countries of Cuba, Russia, and Australia. E1 started mass vaccination against COVID-19 with a Russian-made Sputnik V vaccine on February 9th. E1 says it will soon become one of the world's important manufacturers of the COVID-19 vaccine. COVID-1 Barakat vaccine developers are planning to get the approval of the World Health Organization for this Iranian vaccine so as to be listed as one of the safest vaccines for emergency use. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
The U.S. has pledged to withdraw its forces from Afghanistan by September 11. The move will put an end to America's longest direct war in the country. The announcement of a troop withdrawal has urged some circles to discuss the consequences of the American military presence in Afghanistan over the past two decades. As they say, the U.S. military presence in Afghanistan has had adverse effects on the country on different political, economic, social, and military fronts.
When the U.S. invaded Afghanistan, it said the American troops were there to build the country, establish a modern Afghanistan, bring poppy cultivation to zero, and uproot Al-Qaeda and terrorism. But now the U.S. says it does not care about such issues. Of course, it was a lie, and we know about that.
Critics of the U.S. policy in Afghanistan believe Washington's involvement in Afghan issues is not limited to its military presence. They say Washington has also created ethnic tensions among local Afghans. Under such circumstances, political elites in Afghanistan say, as Afghans have fully experienced the cost of foreign interference in their country over the past four decades, they need to first come together and make a united nation and then make a strong policy to deal with foreign players in line with Afghanistan's national interests.
The U.S. military presence in Afghanistan under the pretext of fighting terrorism has not only led to an increase in militancy, poverty, and drug abuse, but apart from its disruptive consequences, it has also resulted in America's longest war. Now, after several years of struggle and hardships inflicted upon Afghanistan and its people, Afghans are welcoming Washington's decision to withdraw its forces from the country by September 11. Sayed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
The Yemeni army has carried out another successful massive operation that was announced by the spokesman for the Yemeni army, Yahya Saria, who described the offensive as a major victory in the southern Saudi Jazan region.
There is no doubt that this operation will affect the Saudi enemy severely, especially as it comes at a time when the Marib front and other fronts are under much pressure. Thus, these back-to-back victories confirm Saudi Arabia's inability to achieve